Corner Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer here at ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster for Mile High Sports, host of this podcast, obviously. Coming to you Monday, February 10th. I'm a little bit behind on recapping those last two Avalanche games coming into the Four Nations face-off break, but a little bit of travels that I had to get through to get to this point. So I kind of wanted to make sure that I catch those two games before I start talking about Four Nations, probably as early as Tuesday. But I felt it was necessary because the last time I did a show, it was about the brutally bad, terrible loss against the Vancouver Canucks, playing against a team without Quinn Hughes and playing in a game where Miles Wood just did not have a great time. And neither did the rest of the Avalanche, and playing and talking about a game where Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and the Avalanche in general in their last six games had just 15 goals. They were struggling to score, and it just wasn't quite the same offensive prowess that we've grown to love and seen from this team over the last several years, and obviously still adjusting to the post Mikko Rantanen era. So that was the Vancouver game. They still had two more games remaining on their road trip. They had the Calgary Flames on Thursday and the Edmonton Oilers on Friday. And what they did in those two games was going to say a lot about the general feel about this roster, this team, and where they are in the standings heading into the Four Nations break. So what they needed to do was have two strong games. And what they did was have two strong games. I am beyond impressed. And I'm not going to sit here and do the thing where I ride the waves of, you know, the highs are the highs and the lows are the lows. Or I'm going to sit here and say the Avalanche are now cup contenders and they figured it out and they're going to, you know, move on from here and it's the sky's the limit. It's not quite to that extent. But the reality is those were two really good games from the Avalanche on the road, on a back-to-back, both of them with Mackenzie Blackwood in goal, both of them with your top guys, per usual, playing as well as they needed to play and carrying the offensive load. And they came on 2 days where Nathan MacKinnon entered Thursday's game against the Calgary Flames, second place in league standings, in league leaders among... Nathan MacKinnon entered the game on Thursday against the Calgary Flames, ranked second in the league in points, something that hadn't happened in a very long time. So it just kind of speaks volumes about how his production had kind of fallen off. I think he had 5 points in his previous six games after the trade of Mikko Rantanen for Marty Natchez. And I'll have to double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's where he was sitting. But he went into that Calgary game, he had 3 assists, and every single one of them was the primary assist. And I just kind of want to go over a few things from that game. It was the second straight game where Miles Wood had a fight. I kind of want to start with him a little bit. This time he stepped in for Nathan MacKinnon after he took a big hit and fought a much bigger 6'8" behemoth for the Calgary Flames in Klapka. And he unfortunately got the extra minor, but I liked what he did there a little bit better than breaking the stick on Elias Pettersson in Vancouver. He still played a team low 8 minutes and 23 seconds against the Calgary Flames. So not a great showing all around from Miles Wood, but I did want to appreciate him for jumping in for that fight. Cale Makar had had a goal and got to 20 against the Calgary Flames. Great to see him continue to do what he's doing in terms of offensive production, because he followed up that goal and an assist against the Calgary Flames with 2 goals and an assist, including a shorthanded goal, something he's only done 3 times in his NHL career against the Edmonton Oilers. So 3 goals, 2 assists for Cale Makar since the last time I spoke to all of you guys. So shout out to him for having that kind of a game. Nazem Kadri, random thought. And right now I'm going over my 10 observations from that game, something I write after every single game on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. If it's a home game, the 10 observations are behind the paywall because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that I like to share in those observations. And obviously, if I'm not at the building and if I'm not there in person, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a road game. It just has to be a road game that I'm not covering in person. It is free content on ColoradoHockeyNow.com. But for those home games, you should subscribe to ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Promo code Dean10, D-E-E-N, my last name. 10 Dean10 to get 25% off an annual subscription at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. $29.99 for an entire year of paywall content from yours truly. A ton of great stuff, especially with the trade deadline coming up. You're gonna want to have that paywall content at your disposal. And then obviously you also get, you know, adless, no ads on every other article, which the website looks a hell of a lot more clean when you don't got to deal with all the advertisements. So Dean10 for 25% off an annual subscription. Moving on, back to the 10 observations. Number three, it's hilarious that Nazem Kadri won 17 of the 22 faceoffs in that game. Just another way that the Avalanche truly missed this guy. Granted, a couple of big faceoff wins in both games for Jack Drury. He's doing exactly what the Avalanche need from him late in games. The defense still needs to be reworked. That's not something that has gone away in the Calgary game or the Edmonton game. But not having Josh Manson, who missed those last two games after trying to play through an injury through the Four Nations break, really changed things quite a bit. I think Manson, a lot of his struggles probably are because of the injury. I've spoken outwardly about how I think Manson should be a third pair guy moving forward. But I do think that we got to cut him some slack for playing with that injury. I thought Sam Malinsky playing with Girard probably had his best couple games of the year here against Calgary and against Edmonton. Marty Natchez played over 24 minutes, fourth time in his career. Every single one of those games came with the Colorado Avalanche in his first six, or sorry, in his first seven. In his eighth game with Colorado, he didn't quite hit 24, but he hit 23.54. He was right there. So he is playing a lot of hockey with the Colorado Avalanche, and that's exactly what he wanted after that trade, and he got it. In Carolina, he was averaging 18.05. In Colorado, he's averaging 23.03. That's a whopping 4 minutes and 58 seconds more per game. He's already got two game-winning goals. He's got 29 shots in eight games, averaging more than three shots per game after averaging just a little over two per game with the Carolina Hurricanes. He is loving life in Colorado. There's nothing this guy can't do. Four goals and five assists, 9 points in eight games for Marty Natchez. He was really hungry for that bigger role, and he's gotten it, obviously, quite opposite of Mikko Rantanen. Mackenzie Blackwood let in four goals against the New York Islanders a couple weeks ago. He did let in also four goals against the Edmonton Oilers because he played both games. But in the four games in between, he let in a combined four goals. Couple of shutouts in a row against St. Louis and Philadelphia. Two goals against the Vancouver Canucks in that shutout loss, followed by two goals against the Calgary Flames. So when you add those four games with the one before and the one after, in his last six games, he has let in 12 goals, two goals per game, just where he likes to be. And that's including the fact that in two of those games, he let in four apiece. Eight of them came in two games. Four of them came in four games. Arturi Lehkonen's had a hell of a season, and he continues to score. He was another piece of that top line that produced a ton over these two games. A goal against the Calgary Flames, followed by a goal and an assist against the Edmonton Oilers. That rare assist for Arturi Lehkonen. His stat line will never stop amazing me. Last year, in 45 games, Arturi Lehkonen had 16 goals, 18 assists, 34 points. This year, in 45 games, Arturi Lehkonen has 23 goals. He's averaging more than a half a goal per game. Only 10 assists. 33 points in 45 games. So one off what he had last year. He's got three shots fewer than he did last year. Double the game-winning goals. He's got four of them. He's not producing a lot on the power play this year like he was last year, which is making him a far more valuable player at 5-on-5. And again, 23 goals in 45 games. He's also a plus 24. Just a spectacular season for Arturi Lehkonen, who, as of 10 games ago, is only halfway through his five-year contract with the Colorado Avalanche, or more like 13 or 14 games ago. So plenty of more hockey to go here for Arturi Lehkonen, making just $4.5 million. But he has been a total breath of fresh air for the Colorado Avalanche. I'm really curious, and I keep going back to this. I don't know who the hell is going to play second-line center for the Avalanche past March 7, because there's a lot of smoke around Casey Mittelstadt. In fact, Elliot Friedman said today that he could see the Avalanche trading Casey Mittelstadt to one team for assets, for a team that could use Mittelstadt, and then using those assets in a separate deal to get his replacement without even knowing who the hell that could be. I'm going to dig into this. I'm going to try to find every possible name that could be of interest to the Avalanche. It doesn't even have to be names that are on the trade market, just names that would make sense. You know, for example, the Ryan O'Reillys of the world or the Nazem Kadris of the world, knowing very well Kadri's not getting traded, but those are just examples. You know, Dylan Cousins, knowing very well you're not making another trade with Buffalo where you're sending them back Mittelstadt. Trying to find anybody and everybody that could make sense for the Avalanche. I'm going to do a little bit of a deep dive because I will leave no stone unturned trying to figure out who the heck Chris McFarland has in mind to center the second line. So shout out to Arturi Lehkonen for a wonderful, wonderful season. As of right now, like if Val's back, which he should be, for the game coming out of the Four Nations faceoff. In my opinion, as good as Lehkonen's playing, I would put Nichushkin with Neches and McKinnon right away and let Drouin and Mittelstadt and Lehkonen hopefully regain some of that chemistry that they had earlier in the season. Going into the game against the Edmonton Oilers, this was a game that Colleen Flynn wrote about. Nathan McKinnon, who had three assists against the Calgary Flames, followed it off with a casual one goal, three assists, going head-to-head with Leon Draisaitl, second in points. Draisaitl had two goals to hit 40 to be the first one to get there. But Nathan McKinnon, after giving up the number one spot for points, puts up a casual 7 points, one goal, six assists in those two games on back-to-back nights. So shout out to him. Shout out to all these guys. As I keep saying, I'm trying to get away from that habit. There was a quote from McKinnon post-game that he said about Marty Nichols, which was, "We have a similar style of game. We like to carry it off the rush, both righties. So I think we think similar, so we can imagine where each other would be on the ice. So it's a lot of fun. He's a dynamic player. He's amazing, and it's been really good so far." So McKinnon is loving playing with Marty Nichols. Kale McCarr is 1 point away from 400. He's only 26 years old. That is unbelievable. I can't even begin to imagine that they ever thought they would get this type of player when they drafted him less than 8 years ago. He's already well past Eric Johnson in career points, not just points with the Avalanche. He is going to be a legend. He's like, 400 points for a defenseman is a hell of a career. 400 points for a defenseman before the age of 27 is otherworldly. Like, Rob Blake, who played well into his 40s, finished with 777 in 1,270 games. And Rob Blake was an offensive defenseman. Rob Blake, until his very last year in the NHL, like, the worst he was doing was 30 points in a full season. This is a guy who had 56 with the Avalanche in his first full year with the team, 45 in the next year, 46 in the third year, 51 in the fourth year, 16 goals, 17 goals, 13 goals, 14 goals. Like, those were the numbers that he was putting up after coming in at the deadline in 2001. And he was playing 27 minutes a night, 26 minutes a night, 24 minutes a night. The dude played a ton of hockey. With the LA Kings, he was playing 28-30 per night 1 year. With the Avalanche in the cup year, he was playing more than 26 minutes per night. The guy played a lot of hockey. and his numbers and what he's doing are nothing, and they pale in comparison to what Cale Makar is doing. Cale Makar has played 372 games. He's already surpassed 100 goals. He's close to 300 assists. He's got 22 freaking goals this season alone. So if you're wondering where that puts him, well, Cale Makar put up 28 goals the year the Avalanche won the Stanley Cup. This year, he's casually on pace for 32. Ho-hum. No biggie. I remember when Matt Duchene hit 30 goals. I remember the big cheer from Patrick Waugh post-game. That was their first 30-goal season in a long time. And now you got a defenseman hitting those numbers. So just unbelievable game from Cale Makar. Like I said, 3 goals, 2 assists, and a plus 4 in those final 2 games after the shutout loss to the Vancouver Canucks. And he also casually played in those 3 games in 4 nights. 30-36 against Vancouver, 26-43 against Calgary, 29-11 against the Edmonton Oilers. Insanity. 4 shots, 8 shots, 6 shots, 18 shots in 3 games. Just an otherworldly talent that Cale Makar is. Can't say enough how fortunate the Avalanche are to have this guy, and how each and every time he does things like this, I do want to take a second to always make sure that I am appreciating the talent that he has. The Avs are 5-2 in the second game of back-to-backs. They've had 7 of them so far this season. And 3 times out of those 7, they've won both the first and the second game. Obviously, with this back-to-back in Alberta being another one of those. So it's going to be interesting to see how they do coming out of the break, because they actually do have another back-to-back right away. They play at Nashville and then at St. Louis, both on the road again, February 22nd and 23rd, before they have a couple of days off. Man, the Avalanche have a very, very team-friendly schedule coming out of the break. They play back-to-back at Nashville, at St. Louis, 22nd and 23rd, and then they got a couple days off. Then they play 26 and 28 at home, and then they have 3 days off before they go 4, 6, 8, and 10 at home. So they're going to have 6 consecutive games at home, where in the middle of all of that, number one, you have the trade deadline. Woof. Number two, they play Friday, February 28, and then they don't play again until Tuesday, March 4. They're going to have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off before they play Tuesday, March 4, Thursday, March 6, and then the trade deadline on Friday the 7th, and then they play Saturday the 8th against Toronto, and then they play Monday the 10th against Chicago. So, very fortunate schedule for the Avalanche. Granted, as soon as that homestand ends with that home game against the Blackhawks on the 10th, they go right to Minnesota and play on the road on the 11th. But by then, who the hell knows what their roster is going to look like? But back-to-back, coming right out of this thing, and then they'll have that other back-to-back. Like, within a month from today, they'll have 2 more sets of back-to-back. So, really curious to see how they do. But I think I'm going to put an end to the show here. I'll catch up with you guys again tomorrow. We'll talk Four Nations. We'll talk more about that Casey Mittelstadt stuff. We'll talk Mikko Rantanen. He's been kind of someone I've been writing about a lot over the last couple days. So if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. Let's make hockey for everyone, and we out you.